I think I told you some weeks ago, in the press of time and the flow of a message, when I make a mistake, don't stop me. I'll correct it. You know, I have an attorney friend, Patty Glazer. She's been our general counsel since Greg Boucher died. And I have had her husband is a great friend of mine. And Patty's more than just our attorney. Patty's a great friend. Get my coat on right. Maybe I'll... You're looking here. I mean, this side right here is supposed to be that other side. You know, they can figure it out. Another thing. See, I can't figure out which side. Who cares? I'm sitting on it. I'm going to start over. We're live now, and I want to make a correction on something I did toward the close of the message. Remember how many times I've told you I hate grammarians and their books? You have to learn a transliteration language to be able to write for scholars the foreign language. They can't leave you alone and just let you learn the vocabulary and the grammar of Hebrew or Greek or Aramaic or one of the languages. You got to also learn a common specialized language for the scholars that seldom, if ever, talk to ordinary people. Now, the Hebrew alphabet is very aggravating. You have kop, which is a reverse C, pronounced like a K. It's a C looking backwards. You pronounce it like a K looking frontwards. And then you have he, which looks like an H with the top half of the left leg cut off. There's a little gap on the top. It's a backwards, upside down L with a little gap and a leg. And then you have het, which is just like he, except the gap and the legs filled in. Now, the only way you can pronounce het is not be an American and not grow up speaking English. That's why you see, as I've said so many times, people don't know whether to call this former ruler of Iran Khomeini or Khomeini. And I remember doing an undergraduate major in history. And my history professor pronounced Chaim Weizmann as Chaim Weizmann, C-H-A-I-M. It wasn't until I immersed myself more deeply after coming here to pastor in Hebrew that I could rid myself of the English translation of that het, the second H, and it's pronounced the way we pronounce CH at the end of Bach, the musician. It's not like character even. Character we have in the English, CH, pronounced with a ordinary K sound. But the Bach sound is a combination cough, and most people that are in the English language frame just can't say it. Get it. Come, wait, Weizmann. Well, now that's bad enough. But if you're going to write it allegedly transliterated in English letters, you write ordinary H for he, the gap in the leg upside down U, and then you come to het, which is the sound. You write it with an H the same way, but you put a dot under it. Now, what's the ordinary person going to do to distinguish between an H with a dot under it and an H that doesn't have a dot under it? Why don't they, since they tell you, and they write over to the right and tell you how to pronounce it, like CH and Bach? Well, why don't they write CH? And if they want to make it look like a strange CH, write it with a small C, H. But that's expecting grammarians to want to help you. Now, I want to tell you, I don't give a hoot or a holler. I know how to read it when I'm studying, but I don't give a hoot or a holler about what the grammarians think, except that some of them occasionally try to say, I don't know what I'm talking about, and they listen only to criticize. And that's all right. I'll put my school standard up against theirs any day of the week. But for the sake of some of you who have been taught by me enough to know the difference, I made a mistake today. I wrote Q for the alphabet as cough. I wrote Q for the H with the dot under it. I wrote Q for KH, the different ways they write it. Three of those words for hope. Qua. And to show you how ridiculous it is, the stems of the Hebrew words, the active, what we would call in English, the active tense, I still find myself slipping as I'm working with so many languages. I'll write qua. Because I'm so conditioned in the English, you don't write a Q without a U behind it, with few if any exceptions. So the equivalent of the active tense of the verbs, which is really a misstatement because they have a stem system that is active and then passive, kal, mifl, then intensively active, hiel, and intensively passive, vau, then hifl and hipel, and on through the various stem forms and the endings, prefixes and suffixes that drive you crazy. But I invariably find myself, when I'm in a hurry, saying qual for the active stem instead of call, because it's Q-A-L, not Q-U-A-L. But I'll invariably say qual instead of call. I have the same problem in English. I sent a notice to my friend, Patty Glazer, as I started this. I've known her for 20 years. She's been our general counsel, as I said, since Greg Boucher died. And I stopped. I said, is it Patty Glazer? Because that's the way it's pronounced, Patty Glazer. Is it G-L-A-S-E-R or G-L-A-Z-E-R? And I confirmed with my wife this morning that I guessed right. I put an S on the last one. But you can tell me 100 times, I got a block on that. If it sounds like Z, I say Z. Now in the Hebrew, kaf, which is a reverse P, which was in one of those words for hope, qua, which was kaf, vav or wa, and he. Q is the right word, but they sound the same. You got three different K sounds. You got top, which is We have cop in English, C-O-P. And we have cop that rhymes with hop, K-O-P. You got three different consonants. You got cop, reverse C. You got cuff, which is the coughing sound that's like a Q. And you got like Bach, which is the upside down U. They all sound the same except for that cough, and I can do that cough anyway. And neither can most of you. How many of you can pronounce? You can pronounce Bach, can't you? You English people. Well, now turn it around and pronounce the Bach sound by reversing it and saying "kub." It doesn't come natural to us. You got to have training where to put the tongue. I'm interested in communicating to you folks. And today in the rush, I gave you three new words for hope. Qua, which is Q, W, or V, depending upon whether you're going to use the German Vav or the more ancient Hebrew Wa, and I interchange those as I go along, because I just did. Most of the time, I'll use the what's known as the Vav conjunction. I'll pronounce it with a V instead of a W, and it depends on whether you come through the German heritage in the Jewish language or through another route, whether you're going to pronounce it with the V sound or the W sound. And the German influence, since they can't pronounce, they have as big a trouble with W as I have with cough. That's why we have Jehovah instead of Yahweh, because of the German influence. And that influence has created grammarians galore that will use the Vav conjunction or the Wa conjunction, W-A-W or V-A-V, which is also doubles as a vowel sometimes, depending on a dot on top of it or a dot in the middle of it, O or U. It sounds the same. The point is, I want you to remember there is Qua, which has, for the grammarians, is pronounced or written with a Q in the transliteration. There's Ka, the reverse C, which is just a plain, ordinary, hard K. And then there's the H. That's the H cough sound, Ka. But normally, unless it is at the end of a syllable, I pronounce it with a either an H sound or just simplify it with CH-like character, which is really wrong because you need to have, when it begins a syllable, the coughing type sound. When it ends a syllable, that's easy. Bach. So you who took notes today, the words for hope and wait and waiting expectantly, it's Q-W-A. Or if you were of the German heritage, it'd be Q-V-A. Those are the three consonants. Or, I wrote Q this morning because that's the same sound, but the coughing sound. Cough. A hard H with a small C in front of it would be better. C-H instead of Q. And then the other word, Yakil, I put, it's again the hard H, I put a Q instead of the CH. So you got Q, W, he, H, the silent, pronounced like ah, at the end, at the beginning of a syllabus, it's H, T. But it's the upside down Q with a gap in the leg. Qua, Yakil, Haka. the hard H, the backward C, the soft H. I just wanted to say, for the grammarians, I picked it up. In fact, it was my wife who asked me an honest question. Is this a Q? And I said, no. As soon as she said it, I said, I've written it wrong. You understand me now?
Yes, sir.
Let's get on with the festival. Now, what matters in this footnote on the message of today is that the Hebrew letters were correct and that there are three different words for hope. And you look in any lexicon, they'll say hope or to wait, to hope or to wait. Like facets on a diamond, they are just a little different in their emphasis. And I want these three words to be added to your vocabulary of faith. Hope and waiting. Expectantly, perseveringly, yakil, spelled in our language, Y-Q-L. Qua, which is waiting with a sense of future, an inevitable happening of the future if you hang on. Probably better translated, awaiting, but awaiting with perseverance and intensity. Hakah. Not much difference than the others, except a little more emphasis on expectancy. They're used as synonyms as the Hebrew scripture moves on into the prophetic stage. And what is critically important is that they are used as a synonym repeatedly for batak and hasa, words of faith, and that amen is the undergirding state of mind that's necessary for all of them. In today's message, I put a Q in a couple of places in my hurry in place of the hard H sound, which would better have been written with KH, or if you're going to use transliteration lingo, what nobody understands, an H with a dot under it, which is no different than learning another new language. The point is, the pronunciation is still essentially the same. The letters are different. That's important because letters have numerical meanings and convey other messages, which carried to an extreme produces extreme Kabbalah thinking, where you must get the numerical meaning of every verse as well as the normal meaning of the word. I'm interested in communicating the words to you and in language you understand, but in simple, accurate fact, I miswrote the hard H sound, het, with a Q a couple of times, pronunciation being beyond my grasp and essentially the same. I want to pound it home until you're as familiar as you are with the talk, which has the hard H at the end and easy to pronounce, and hasa, which has the hard A at the front and almost impossible to pronounce. And I'd write it with a CH, like most history books write the name of Wiseman, Heim Wiseman. The other word, hakah, has the hard H. I wrote Q, but it's the hard H sound, pronounced for us Americans the same way, with a C, the K sound, and the soft H, which is essentially silent on the end of the word. These three words, qua, hakah, and yakil, add those and then put it in the frame of the New Testament use of the word faith, pistuo. And the, not a definition, but a statement in Hebrews 11. Faith, is the hypostasis, the substance of things hoped for. Faith and hope. And in the great passage in Corinthians, faith, hope, and love. As I open this envelope in faith, which is not the kind of faith being sold in most faith-based ministries today. Most faith-based ministries today are preaching faith that produces instant results down here. You need the dimension of hope added in. Now, there are exceptions to the rule, like I teach on healing. I wrote a little book, Born Blind, 8 Different Doors for Healing. But there are conditions. God's sovereignty still rules. God can say no. But in Isaiah 53, that which is embraced in that supreme act of redemption, when the amen is there, when there's this certainty and no doubt, God will not withhold in that area. But in the general Christian walk, and I include salvation, that can start instantly when amen is there and you act in faith to appropriate what Christ has purchased on Calvary. God doesn't send warriors into the field crippled and sick. We in this world, we have tribulation. Our hope is eternal. But there's at least that dimension, sickness, that we don't have to bear. If you can see it in God's Word and rise to the level that it's the same as cleansing for sin with His stripes, we were healed. Done deal. But in the rest of our Christian walk, faith is not designed as a magic wand to always produce instant results. The path that God leads us in His sovereignty is designed to produce the occasion for faith. And we're led from faith to faith. And the hope dimension introduces to the faither the necessity of waiting, but waiting expectantly, waiting enduringly, waiting painfully in the sense of tension, and tested by God to see if a little time added to the trial will cause us to ditch faith, or if our faith becomes the substance that will not dissolve or yield until the hope becomes reality and fact is not hope. Hope is still in front, and part of the faith walk is the tension where God tests us to see, little toughness, we get cast down in despair. Where is our God? Asking ourselves sometimes. Darkness with no light. The hope dimension. Expectantly. Certitude in an amen state. They all dissolve into amen. Amen for what God has said I can have right now. And amen for that which God has said I can have, but He sets the time schedule. And amen for that which I may have to wait for eternity to get. But amen that will not let go and will live on God's promises and deny self and let Him be first. And then He saves ourself. This dimension of hope I want you to add to your vocabulary of faith. That once you've set your course and have found a promise from God, you're going to hang on. If you die hanging on. You understand?
Yes, sir.
Why I'm going to keep beating these words in, and whether you pronounce the K sound with a Q, a KH, a C, or Kate Smith, I don't care. As long as you get the meaning of these three words that are different aspects of that added dimension to your amenness that will persevere, will fight through pain, will fight through despair, will fight through anything, because you have come to believe God's going to do what He said, either here or in eternity. That's the kind of faithers that go from faith to faith to faith to faith over there.